Well, everyone's got a body metric, right? With how much I weigh, how much I run, how fast I do it, how good I feel, how much sleep I've had, how much creatine powder I put in my drink. You know, it's all very measured. And I'm completely not that way. I've never been a Strava person or a measurement person. I just go on feel and whatnot, which is still quite strategic, but it's just not as number driven, I suppose.
Welcome to the Spartan Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast with host Johnny Waite.
Hey Spartans, we've got a phenomenal episode for you today. Bo Miles, PhD professor, adventurer, YouTuber, Australian sensation. This guy has a new book out called The Backyard Adventurer, and we explore how to stay motivated, inspired, enthused about adventure and endurance, doing it in different ways, and especially at a time when we can't travel as much, or a lot of us can't. Finding ways to do it right in your own backyard. So join us in Australia with Bo Miles.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by USANA Health Sciences, driven to innovate and advance the science of nutrition. Visit USANA.com to learn more about their incredible selection of nutritional supplements and healthy lifestyle products.
Hey, Spartans. Welcome to another Spartan Up podcast endurance episode. And I'm Johnny Waite, the host. And we go around the world to find incredible guests. And today we have literally gone around the world to Australia, where Bo Miles has got up nice and early to join us. And I've been really excited about this podcast for a while. Bo, I'm going to talk about some of the YouTube videos you've done and how you came into my consciousness and how that's actually bled out to a lot of other people. But first, I want to give you an introduction. You are an adventurer. You are a YouTube personality now, but you're also a doctor. I know that you're a PhD in, you're explaining to me the experiential learning of adventures. So let's just start there. Let's start with how you got into adventures in the first place and how it turned into a career for you.
Well, I don't know, Johnny. I sometimes struggle to think back to my 10-year-old self, but I do know that my sort of mid-teen self, I just like the idea of going to exotic locations. And look, there's lots of ego wrapped in a young dude or dudette going somewhere, right? But I always thought that if you go and do cool things, you have a cool story to tell. And maybe it was just about getting girls at that stage or meeting girls or I don't know. But it was about having a cool story to tell. And I now realize that that's a flawed premise, because you have to have a good life or have good experiences to have a good story to tell, and not the other way around. But I really just wanted to go see new places. But I was a real sort of homey-based kid for a long time. And so I don't know what that switch was where I turned and thought, you know what, I want to get out of this and go and see other places. And ironically, that's kind of flipped, and I'm really happy to be back home again. But gee, all I wanted, mate, as a 16, 18-year-old, I just wanted to be as far away as possible.
Yeah, so let's create some context, because like you say, you've made a pretty interesting switch lately that I think is going to be very germane to this conversation. But you have gone and done big, big things. I know that you've gone on massive sea kayaks and great big endurance runs. So tell me about a couple of the, you know, the big expedition type things that you've done.
Well, the main one, when I've graduated university in 2002, and I'd done a bunch of stuff through uni, and that was good fun, but that was sort of week and 2 week sort of things. One of my years of study was in Canada, and that kind of got wet my whistle for going long range. And they were just hitchhikes. I'd go on big long hitchhikes for no real good reason, or we had a 10-day spring break or whatever, and off I'd go. So I loved the idea of having longer type journeys, and yet the real first one was when I first decided to go sea kayaking across all the main island chains between Melbourne down here in the south of Australia, right across to Perth. And there's three main island chains linking those, that huge distance. It's sort of 2,000 or 3,000 miles. And off I went. And look, it was never supposed to be alone either. It was supposed to be a mate's trip, but they all got girlfriends and pulled out at the last minute. So I ended up going by myself. And it was a 6 week sea kayaking expedition, and I loved it. And I thought, this is really, I'd never had my own company for so long. And I had lots of mistakes, and I made lots of sort of rookie errors. And I made that film into a thing called The Green Paddle based on my naivety, you know, like a green tomato. Anyway, that kind of wet my whistle for that sort of thing. And then I decided pretty much there and there over a few beers at the end of that trip that I'd like to tackle Africa. I'd done enough sort of bootleg research into sea kayaking to realize that Africa hadn't really been paddled much in a film way or a big expedition sense. So a few years later, I got to Africa, and for 5 months, I paddled from Mozambique to Cape Town and had enough of a revolution in that in terms of my sea kayaking prowess, because I wasn't much of a sea kayaker before I started, and making even bigger mistakes along the way that you get your pedigree a little bit. And so I realized how much I like it and started planning for longer runs and other paddles and guiding all over the world. I hadn't gone back to study at this stage or started a PhD, but it was good, man. I was spending 3 to 6 months a year somewhere else and nearly all geared around a long run somewhere or a big sea kayaking venture. And I was living the dream, but it was sort of, you spend a lot of time by yourself and you want to, I feel like being around people a bit more. And so, things have shifted.
I love that you've addressed, that you didn't go out and do everything perfectly, that you made mistakes. We interviewed Tim Ferriss a while ago, and I just recently read a blog post of his about the master and the fool. And the fastest way to be a lifelong fast learner is to be willing to make mistakes. That if you're going out planning everything being perfect, you're not going to learn as much as you are if you're willing to stumble and see what you learn from it and carry on. So I love that you've followed a similar path and incorporated into what you do. Now you talked about uni and then obviously went back and did your PhD. Explain how that has evolved into what you're doing now, because I know that you've studied storytelling and adventure in terms of learning. So flesh that out for me. But then how that's morphed into your publishing.
Well, yeah, look, everything from right back to the mistake stuff, Johnny, it's a real lifestyle thing now that I don't prepare as much as what a lot of people would for a trip, whether it be a 24-hour thing or a week-long expedition. Now, that doesn't mean I'm foolhardy and I am still quite calculated, but I love the elements of the unknown. You know, the German outdoor educators would call this Unterweg sein, on the way. That they just have to follow tangents on the way and fix things on the way, and it sort of goes back to early human travel, I suppose, where you've just got to fix stuff and you don't know where you're going. You didn't have Google Earth, and so I love that idea. Now I'm about to go off and do a 5-day paddle tomorrow, actually, and half of me is really tempted to Google Earth where I'm going to go, and the other half, I do not want to see any kind of visual interpretation of where I'm going, because I want to see it in the flesh when I get there and have these first experiences. You know, how good would it be to have a first date with our wife again, or have a first date with our girlfriend again, or meet your parents when they are 20? These really cool kind of abstract ideas. And I sort of chase that now in expeditions. And so I wanted to flesh that out a bit when I wrote a PhD about just how good experiences are, but what makes them great, and what makes maybe a sea kayaking journey different to a long run in the mountains, and what are the essences of the experience for me that I think I want to share as an educator. And that's kind of what was all geared around. And at that stage, 8 or 9 years ago, I thought I wanted to be a professor and live with a tweed jacket on my whole life in a big flash university. And I really still love universities, but I much prefer the freelance sort of conversations I'm having with you and writing, books that aren't academic. And yeah, I've seen the light, mate, and I love it. But it's just, it's all about experiences.
Well, and that's a great segue into, so many people take things very, very seriously. And the YouTube videos of yours that I stumbled on first were so wonderfully not serious. And yet there's such great lessons to come from them. Eating your weight in beans. I love that. Drinking a bottle of wine you found at the side of the road. I think my very favorite is your commute to work in the kayak down ditches and streams and, everything that had grown over that used to be rivers. And I want to ask you about that. So the last couple of years has been tough for a lot of would-be adventurers because they suddenly can't go all the places they wanted to go. And, they might have had these big plans that have been thwarted by, shutdowns. But the other biggest excuse for people in terms of not doing the big things anymore is kids. you know, their kids come along and they say, well, I guess I'm putting all these adventures on the shelf. And you, in the middle of a pandemic, and you've recently had a wonderful child who I think is named May. And yet it feels like you are going to a whole new level with your adventures locally. So tell me about that. And I really, I'm always thinking about what are the listeners going to take from this? And I really want people to think about, while you're listening to this, what could you do that would be a huge, awesome experience, adventure, test yourself physically and mentally, not too far from home? So I'm going to turn it over to you to take that tangent.
Yeah, well, it's beautifully articulated, Johnny, and how it has been sort of tough, I suppose. But one thing I do know is that I suck at advice, right? So things I can tell yourself and your listeners is that, share, I suppose, is that my experiences are very unique to my own circumstances. And my advice things worth sharing is that everyone's circumstances are so different.
Sure.
And so I really want to squeeze the most out of my 168 hours a week. We all have it, yep. Right? We all have the same time. And, you know, how you split up that time is a big fat choice. And some things aren't. There's compromises. There's laced all through that. But how you sleep, how much you drink, how much you're motivated to go and do things for yourself is all sort of up to you in some respects. And fundamentally, if you have one kid or seven kids or you work 50 hours a week or 20, there's still lots of time in there to squeeze things in and to make yep. choices that can really impact your day-to-day. And so, you know, I drink a bit. Sometimes I drink too much and sometimes I feel like I don't drink enough and sometimes I sleep enough and sometimes I don't. But they're nearly always pretty good choices that gear towards Beau having a good physical life. You know, yep. if this podcast is about endurance, Johnny, and you know much more about it than me, and I'm a bit of a rookie on things of how to optimize my body in some respects, but I'm very uncompromising the rest of the time with maximizing my physical potential. And that is just a choice of just go and do stuff. I just do stuff. And I don't question when I feel like going for a run or taking a night and going sleeping in a ditch to sign books. And I'm lucky enough to have a wife that supports these kind of manic things. But we're quite calculated too with how we map that in our weeks. And we take no prisoners with that. So my wife's heavily pregnant now. She's 5 months odd pregnant. And she still walks every day regardless of how many hours she works. And she runs a small business. So between the both of us, we're very attracted to each other because we've put our bodies first. And then the rest is pretty much a really happy life because we go do stuff.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, saying that you're not about maximizing you are about maximizing your physical performance, but that isn't the point of it for you. It's not that you're trying to become the fastest person in the world and have advice for how to do that. But I think the most important advice that you do have, and I know you don't phrase it as advice, but the best example that you're setting is that one about just doing. You know, coming up with an idea, everyone's had a crazy idea. Everyone's thought, wouldn't it be neat too? And then they don't, right? Because it just takes some planning, takes some commitment, takes whatever. And I loved in the one with you and May going around the slowest mile you've ever run and talking about modeling that for her. And I think about Ben Greenfield that we had on the podcast a while ago was talking about how people always say to him, oh man, it's just so hard to work out with the kids. He said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, just they're always underfoot. He said, what are you trying to hide your working out from your kids? Like, why don't you bring the kids into the gym? Like, this isn't a covert activity. Lead by example. And I love that you're doing that. But in terms of leading by example for everyone else, the fact that you come up with ideas and then just execute them, they don't have to be perfect. You just go and do them. And the generosity of sharing them through YouTube. I told you I wanted to talk about how you came into my mind. And it was somebody shared the video about running a marathon over 24 hours. And there will be a lot of people on this listening to this that this won't be news to. They've probably seen this video or heard it from a friend because the challenge kind of went viral. I saw it all over the place. People saying every hour on the hour, run a mile and then use the other 53, 50, 45, whatever it is, depending how fast you are, minutes to do something productive. And I love the list you wrote on your barn door. And it was, I'm going to paint the fence. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this thing I've wanted to do and I haven't got around to. I'm going to paint a picture, whatever it was. And such an incredibly productive day. I followed up on that with a few friends and we did it, and you know, we'd check in just awesome. Pour one out every hour to encourage each other and keep going. Unbelievable. And my wife and I actually took that, and we're not much for TV, but friends kept saying, you got to see this show. And so the way we justified sitting and watching a 52-minute episode was similar. You know, for every episode we watched, we had to go do twice as much really productive work. So it bled into another mm-hmm. area. But there's taking fitness. I mean, you have to be fit to run 26 miles in 24 hours. I mean, again, you're not trying to break records, but you're going out and doing it. But you found a way to make it motivating and engaging and fun instead of just forcing yourself to go run that distance. So how do these ideas come up? And then how did it turn into, I'm going to share these for people on your channel?
Yeah, that's a good stream of thought there, Johnny, because I've never, like I suck at advice, I've never set out to be inspirational either. And what that little film did is, it was repeatable, right? It was copyable sure. by people because it had this sort of metric. And if there's one thing that a lot of endurance people are, or people that run or paddle or go to the gym, is they're quite, everyone's got a body metric, right? With how much I yep. weigh, how much I run, how fast I do it, how good I feel, how much sleep I've had, how much creatine powder I put in my drink. You know, it's all very measured. And I'm completely not that way. I've never been a Strava person or a measurement person. I just go on feel and whatnot, which is still quite strategic, but it's just not as number driven, I suppose. But yeah, the mile an hour thing felt very, it just felt really good in that it's very sustainable, and that you just do a run every, and my times, a lot of people ask, oh, what are your times, Bo, for your laps per hour? And I have no bloody idea, but I do know I ran some fast and some really slow, and it was sure. the same with the jobs. But fundamentally too, Johnny, it was just fun. And the idea came from writing a PhD is a grind, especially if you're kind of an outdoor dude like myself. And yet I love challenge too. I never thought I would do a PhD as a 20-year-old. I was an okay student. I got pretty good grades. And I remember a professor saying, "Oh, you should do your PhD in the future." I said, "No way, man. That is a bonkers idea. I want to go do stuff." But it came around, you know, by my 30s, I thought, oh, maybe I do have a crack at this, because I love the idea of thinking just as much as going for a run. I think they're both so rewarding. Have a good old think tank, you know, but sitting in front of a computer screen for 3 or 4 years also drives you bonkers. So I remember sitting inside one day, looking outside, just wanting to be outside, but I was under huge deadline pressure to get a chapter finished. And so I thought, you know, Bo, write a crap 1,000 words. It can be about anything. And then as soon as you've written 1,000 words, mate, go and do a lap of the block. And I've never done a mile long run in my life. It's such a short, you know, you don't really sweat really much during a mile long run, or not much anyway. And so I did this mile after 1,000 words, and I thought, you know what, that feels pretty good. And I got back to my computer and wrote some more crap, and out I went again. And I thought, you know, there might be a film in that if I could stitch it together a marathon while coming back to doing stuff. And the idea was born.
That's awesome.
We'll be right back to this interview, but first, a little bit from today's sponsor, USANA Health Sciences. USANA creates premium nutritional products built on one simple idea. If you feed the cells in your body exactly what they need, your overall health and well-being will benefit. When paired with a balanced diet and regular exercise, taking high-quality vitamin and mineral supplements goes a long way to support your healthy goals. USANA products are developed, engineered, and tested by scientists. They're made with the purest ingredients, and they're manufactured in facilities that operate at pharmaceutical levels, above and beyond what's required by law for dietary supplements. With 30 years of experience, USANA has stood the test of time. Thousands of elite athletes trust their health to USANA more than any other supplement company. Discover the difference at USANA.com. That's USANA.com.
And then since then, I want to talk about your book. So you have a book published that's blown up pretty beautifully in Australia, and now it's going around the world. I actually saw that it's on Audible, so I get to listen to you read it. Always my favorite way to absorb a book. So it's The Backyard Adventurer. And tell me the philosophy behind this and how it's going.
Well, it's going real good. Thanks, Johnny. It's and look, there's some flaws in the book, and I picked up the flaws by reading it aloud that your earbuds may have heard, but man, it was hard. It was really hard to read my own book because I think we have several monologues in our bodies. And one, you talk, you know, and you can talk about all sorts of things. But as soon as you read aloud your words, and I know they say that's a really good way to judge good writing from bad. But anyway, the reading of the book was hard. And the book is in many respects, mate, just a compilation of my films and how I came to be a filmmaker, storyteller, which is somewhat of a contradiction to my native self, which is very self-driven. And I never run with others. I don't use Strava. I love being alone. And I like self-pursuits. And yet YouTube is this thing, dude, that just can explode if you tell a good story. And then in some respects, I'm so attracted to it because you can tell your story, you can upload, and then you can leave it. And yet, I find myself very attracted to the interaction I have with the community of folks out there like yourself. And so, wow, I'm sort of surprising myself. But the book is very much a compliment to my filmmaking and my I had to pare back my PhD. You know, the first draft I wrote for the book had all these lovely long words in it, and I sounded like I was back in the office. And so I had to really find Bo's voice again of having a chat with Johnny. And it was really nice to just, my editor was really good. She just said, Bo, just, you know, you're good for a chat, mate. Just do that. And so I did that, and the book's doing real well, and I've got another one on the way. And so I've come up with this. I never thought I'd be a writer. So I'm surprising myself, mate. It's really good.
So there's a guy that I stumbled onto about 2 years ago, and there's some real parallels with your work and his. His name's Alistair Humphreys. We haven't had him on the podcast yet. I don't know if you know the name. He has a philosophy called microadventures, and the idea is living the 5 to 9. And I just love that idea about, you know, some of us have the flexibility of jobs that we can schedule ourselves and travel and fit things in as we want to. Other people, the majority of people, really are on someone else's schedule, right? Even some great endurance athletes are working a 9 to 5 job or, you know, a 4 to noon job or whatever it is. But his whole take was, what are you going to do with the hours between when you finish and when you go back to work? Because really, those are the hours you need to be focused on. And so I love, you know, you've done it geographically. You know, he did as well. He actually drew a 50-mile circumference of his neighborhood and said, what are the things I could do here? Where can I go climbing? Where can I go do all these fun, interesting things? But you've done that where you've turned the mundane into an adventure. You know, the walk around the block, you've turned that into an adventure. The walking to work, you know, just things that, again, people think about it and they never do. So what's your next adventure like that? What's the next thing that you have planned that's just something that on the surface you think, yeah, kind of ridiculous, but there's real meat there?
Well, on my last walk to work, Johnny, and a total plug to Al Humphreys too. Him and I are friends, and we met before and done some talks together. And he's a total dude, very affable English, you know, very beautifully kind and very community orientated and very British. Yeah, I really like him. But when I walked to work, Johnny, I found a lot of money, and not because I was. Well, not that I love finding money, but I didn't take any money with me. And I thought, if I'm going to buy some food, I can only buy food with whatever money I find. And believe it or not, highways, the culverts and side, you know, there's certain sections of a highway, particularly where roads come and join a highway, there's money all through the gravel that's there at the junction. And in many respects, Johnny, our highways now are like rivers. Right. And a bend in a highway has money on the inside curve. It's amazing that money and small bolts and, you know, screws and nails, they all end up there. Small bits of metal that are part of humanity. So one of my ideas next month is I'm going to go to Canberra with my bike, my wife's old bike. And Canberra's got more roundabouts per capita than most other places in the world. It's just, it was a design city with roundabouts and no traffic lights. Right. So I'm going to go there, and I'm just going to find as much money as possible on the roundabouts of Canberra, our capital, and just see where it takes me, where this money can go, what I can do with it, and it's a 24 hours of intense fun money finding on roundabouts, and I think that's really fun, and I'm really excited about it, and they're the kind of things that are coming up.
That's awesome. And again, I love the idea about going in with somewhat of a plan, but not a firm plan. You know, adventure starts when the minute the plan fails, that's when the adventure starts, right? So you set yourself up for an adventure by going in with a sketchy plan to start with. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, you sort of trump it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Bo, one other thing that you're taking on as a challenge I think is great is you've just launched a podcast. So first of all, if somebody wants to buy your book, where are they going to find it?
You go to any of the booksellers now, I think, mate. So the Amazon Beast and Book Depository and all those online joints. Or you can just jump on my website and I'll steer you in the right direction. But yeah, cool. It's all available everywhere now, I think, mate.
Awesome. And tell us the website.
So it's bomiles.com. So just my name, bomiles.com. And I've got the international version there or the inked version with Bo that comes directly from my studio, the old garden shed from Australia. otherwise, yeah, it's print on demand now, I think, at most retailers all over the world. Unfortunately, it's not in a lot of bookstores in North America and Europe. And I lived in the States for 10 years and I love bookstores in America. I think they're just quirky and beautiful and got coffee and nice people. But if it keeps doing well, that'll be the case.
Okay, fantastic. And I also want to direct people to your YouTube channel, which again, Bo Miles on YouTube. It is a rabbit hole of entertainment and enlightenment. I actually watched someone do... I'm sure you've seen it. It was the philosophy of Bo Miles or something along those lines. A fellow was commentating on what you were doing and you may have not seen it, but it was fantastic. And he was just pulling out what the lessons he was learning from your different adventures and his watching of it. And I find that every time I watch anything you do, first of all, it makes me think, and it makes me think differently than I might've been thinking before, which I think is really important, but it also challenges me to say, what could I be doing? What am I not doing that I could be doing? Because you don't let excuses stop you. It's just, here's the thing I want to do. I'm going to find a way to do it. And it will turn out the way it turns out. So kudos to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, and that's sort of all geared around fun and curiosity too, because people are only ever curious about things because they're not quite sure what they're going to see or feel or experience or hear. And so, yeah, do the bare minimum before you do stuff in some respects, because then you've got to trust yourself to make up the rest along the way. And the surprises are the gems. And I love it.
Our founder at Spartan Race, Joe DeSena, he always says, fire, ready, aim. And I think that's a little bit of the same philosophy. Just do it and then figure it out as you go. Hey, I'm going to get you afterwards to give me that German word again, because I think I need to put that on my trailer. That's going to be its name from now on, because that is the trips we do. We don't really know where we're going. We just figure it out on the way. So I'm going to put that word on there. Hey, Bo, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Oh, and I was saying that you've leaped into the podcast world. So tell us about quickly about your experience with that and where we can find it as well.
Well, yeah, it's I forget what it's. I think it's on Buzzsprout. But once again, go to my website, bomiles.com or Boisms on Insta. And there's a link to it there. So, I'm new to the thing. And I did it as a bit of a stunt to sell books. But you know, I didn't expect I'd enjoy myself as much. It was really good having conversations and to be the Johnny of the world. I'd never thought I'd be a podcaster, but it was fun. Buzzsprout or Boisms on Insta.
Awesome. Thanks, my man. You're fantastic. Thanks for being here. And this has been a real treat for me, my friend.
Good on you, Johnny.
Thanks, man. Hey, Spartans, I enjoyed that so much. I'm going to have Bo back to talk more, and we're going to dive a little deeper into how he fuels himself on these unique adventures he's on. But in the meantime, you want to find out everything about Bo Miles, go to bomiles.com, BEAUMILES.com. You're going to find his book, The Backyard Adventurer. You're going to find links to his podcast. You're going to find links to his YouTube channel, and absolutely go into this rabbit hole of adventures that Bo does. Unbelievable. You're going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Thanks for listening to this classic episode of Spartan Up Podcast. We want you to drive yourself to success every day, but we know many of you are taking on new challenges, especially at this time of the year. And without the right mindset, it's easy to let those new challenges, those new promises fall by the wayside. Stick with us. Subscribe to the podcast. Listen to Spartan Up. We're here 3 days a week to motivate you, to inspire you, to bring you new techniques. We are your virtual partner in resilience. Here to stand at your side as you take on new challenges. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by USANA Health Sciences, driven to innovate and advance the science of nutrition. Visit USANA.com to learn more about their incredible selection of nutritional supplements and healthy lifestyle products.